time now for your emails. During our program on Passing the Buck, one caller raised the issue of teaching young kids to take responsibility. The idea resonated with other listeners. Carol from Bemidji, Minnesota, offered this hopeful story. Our neighbor, a 6-year-old boy, and our 9-year-old son were roughhousing in our playroom and broke a piano leg. Our son said he did it. After the neighbor went home, he called our house crying and said he was sorry that he broke our piano and he wanted to pay for the repairs. I was pleased and surprised by both boys. Our son was willing to take responsibility to help his little friend, and our little neighbor wanted us to know the truth. Our next generation is filled with wonderful kids. Both are now teenagers and continue to be great kids. Our conversation with TV chef Nigella Lawson brought this email from Carl Peterson in Dousman, Wisconsin, who wrote to say performance is only one ingredient to the show's success. He goes on, "The marriage of her on-camera presence and the fluid, non-traditional camera work is what really makes the show sizzle. Both are sensuous, both are intimate, both are tantalizing in their approach that is at once teasing, informative, and highly personal." Many of you enjoyed our pre-Mother's Day interview with Muffy Mead Farrow about her book, Confessions of a Slacker Mom. Anne Burlingham of Perry, New York, emailed to suggest another book for like-minded moms, Catherine Gildener's Too Close to the Falls. She wrote, "Kathy's 1950s mom is my role model. The only time she ever used her stove was to dry mittens. They ate every single meal in restaurants. Hooray for not being a slave to one's kitchen." And Christina Thomas says she can pinpoint the first time her inner slacker mom accidentally appeared. She wrote, "One day I came downstairs and found my now ex-husband and our son, who was maybe 4 at the time, both sitting on the sofa in their tidy whities, dad with beer in hand and son with juice box in hand, glued to Live and Let Die. I started to say something, but just shrugged and called it James Bond bonding. It's now a recognized male ritual rite of passage in my family. It's a guy thing, I guess." And finally, Mark Coyley emailed to help spread truth, wisdom, and intelligence, and to address a matter of style. He wrote, "I love the show and listen all the time, but when I hear Neil Conan say npr.org, it evokes the same sensation as when someone uses slow as an adverb or pronounces nuclear as if it were nuclear. Since its creation in the fall of 1984, people in the know have pronounced ORG as a single syllable org, the first syllable of organization. Of the original top-level domains, com, gov, mil, net, org, only EDU is spelled out.
You say either and I say either. You say neither and I say neither. Either, either, neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off. You like potato and I like potato. You like tomato and I like tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off."
By the way, our reference librarians agree with Mark. Org is NPR's preferred style. Though if ORG slips out now and again, you'll forgive us. If you have comments, questions, or corrections, we would love to hear from you. Email us at totn@npr.org. Just kidding, .org. Please type the topic of the show in the subject line, include your name, and tell us where you're writing from, city and state, please.